Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, and review books in this unique romance subgenre and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you writing advice from experienced Christian romance writers. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Welcome back, everyone, to another Friday Book Club discussion. Please excuse the weird sound of my voice as I am getting over a cold. But here are just a few announcements before we head into this week's discussion. Last week, I announced a goal of selling 135 paperbacks or audiobooks or 286 ebooks in order to enter a writing contest by March 15th. And thanks to many of you, we are making our way to that goal. We now only need to sell 83 more paperbacks or audiobooks to hit that mark. So be sure to send your friends over to literaryescape.com/shop to get their copy today, because with your help, we can make this happen. And unfortunately, because of weather conditions, we had to postpone our book club extravaganza at the Branch Coffee Shop tomorrow. We will have a new date soon, so stay tuned and be sure to sign up for our newsletter at literaryescape.com/newsletter or follow us on Literary Escape on Facebook just to stay in the know. I will email that out and post it as soon as we have a new date for that. And then for those of you who do not live close, I am still hosting the online book club extravaganza on February 22nd from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to chat and play bingo, and then you can learn more about this event and sign up at literaryescape.com/events. There is an RSVP form that you'll need to fill out. That way I can send you the link to join. And finally, when you visit literaryescape.com/events, you will find all our coffee and books events for 2025. And we have some incredible authors coming to chat with you this year. And these are free events. Again, you just RSVP with the link to join. That way I can email you that Google Meet link to connect. But I am so excited because our first event is on Tuesday, February 25th from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So come join authors Liz Tolsma, Lynn Blackburn, Sarah Sundin, and Sarah Turnquist for an hour of book talk. That's it for announcements. In today's episode, we discuss The Magnolia Duchess by Beth White. This is the third and final book in her Gulf Coast Chronicles series. So now let's dive into this exciting book discussion.
As the War of 1812 rages across the newly formed United States, another war rages in Fiona Lanier's heart, one that threatens to tear her family apart. Fiona can scarcely take in the news of her brother's capture and imprisonment by the British Navy. It is almost as unbelievable as the half-drowned British sailor who is washed ashore on the beach of Navy Cove. Charlie Kincaid claims to have no memory of his life before being discovered by Fiona. But in a world that seems saturated with treachery, she cannot be sure he is telling the truth. As Charlie's memory returns in agonizing jags and crashes, he and Fiona discover that falling in love may be as inevitable as the tide. But when political allegiance collide, they'll have to decide where their true loyalties lie.
Good job. I stumbled over mine too when I read it for the first book. So, all right. This has been an interesting book to read as well. And I will say, I think, Jessica, you were saying this before we started, this is one of your favorites.
Yes.
And I would agree. I felt like as I went through the series, I liked them more and more. So, we've been talking about this throughout, following the family tree. Were you able, when you stepped into the Magnolia Duchess, were you able to follow the family tree?
Yes, I had no issues in this book at all.
Okay.
But people were still alive in it from the second one.
That's true.
So that helped. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty simple. I was able to. Yeah.
All right. We have actually three love stories going on in this novel. So let's talk about the two side love stories. You've got Maddie and Desi. And then you have, I hope I say this right, Sahoy and Oliver. Let's start with Maddie and Desi.
Okay. I have something to say about this one.
Okay.
Okay. So Maddie's, her parents are Lise and Rafia.
Yes.
Okay. And so Desi's parents died, mm-hmm. right? And so they took him in and raised him like a foster or,
you know, adopted son. Yep.
So what really gets me is, like, I consider Maddie and Desi brother and sister. Not biologically, but they were raised together as a brother and sister. So for them to fall in love.
But remember, he came in, he was almost a teenager.
Was he?
Yeah, he was like,
yeah, he was 10,
somewhere around 10.
But I just think that's just a little weird.
Which is why she never saw him.
Yes.
As a love interest initially.
Yeah. So, but then when they started to, I'm like, but don't you consider him more of a brother? Like, you kind of grew up together. That's where I kind of struggled with it.
But there's a lot of people that grow up together that aren't blood related like them and end up falling in love.
Anyways, I mean, it was a good love story, but it was just like they kind of grew up together. So it kind of just kind of threw me for a loop.
Oh, I really liked it.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, because he was older when he came into the family, I didn't think it was that out of line, I guess.
Yeah. It's just you, Jessica.
I just I guess I don't know. It just kind of I'm like, ew.
Oh, no, I thought it was really sweet. What about Sahoy and Oliver?
That one surprised me because Oliver's so shy and quiet that, that kind of, it was sweet. It was a sweet, but it kind of surprised me because I wouldn't think as shy as he is and quiet that he would. Yeah. So.
Yeah, same here. It was kind of surprising.
It didn't surprise me. I could totally see the two of them right off the bat falling for each other. So Hoy is just a different character, I think. I don't think I'm saying her name right.
Did they both like to draw? She did.
She did. He carved.
He carved. Okay. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember.
Yeah. So what were your thoughts then on Fiona and Charlie and their love story? Because they're really the main love story in this novel.
I thought it was neat how, when she first met him, you know, she was so young. She was a young girl and had traveled to England and met at his parents or grandparents, or I'm not sure which.
His grandpa's. Yeah.
And that she still remembered him and he remembered her. And then, of course, she kind of had a crush on him, I think, from then. But he was so much older than her, he was looking at her sister instead of...
No, her cousin.
Or her cousin instead of her. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Jessica?
I'm trying to think because I'm thinking more of all the other stuff that happened in the book.
Yeah.
Besides the love story. But she had to keep her feelings hidden, though. Kind of from her family?
She did because he was actually a British spy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she, mm-hmm. I mean, she had to keep thinking, what's my family going to think, you know?
Yeah, it was a real struggle. I loved their back and forth and his real, like, he's protective of her, very protective of her, but he's also wants to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. He wants to be with her, but he wants to do the right thing. So he does follow the channels that he needs to say, I've done my duty and my service to my country. And I loved how at the end he's like, I don't want to be a British anymore. I want to be an American. So he's like, he asked to be, to like, I did my service as a naval officer. I want to basically resign.
Yeah.
And he's, and his grandpa, I loved his grandpa. He was like,
yeah.
His grandpa's the one that's able to allow that to happen mm-hmm. because of his position. And so he's like, is this woman really worth becoming an American for? You know, and
yeah.
Like, you gotta meet her, you know. They yeah. have quite an interesting, but he's also really, Charlie is this is kind of a goofball. Like he can be, what do you want to call it, serious, and he knows about how to be loyal and all of that. But at the same time, he's a real goof because he's the youngest of three boys, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why he was even at his grandpa's back when they met as kids is because he was ornery and getting in trouble. And his parents were like, enough, we're shipping you off to your
yeah.
grandpa.
And yeah. he also knew he wasn't next in line to anything.
Right.
He's like, I got two older brothers, so it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think about Fiona's brothers, Leon and Judah?
Leon was very protective.
Oh, yeah.
Very bossy.
But so was Judah. But yeah. maybe not as bossy.
I mean, you didn't meet him till later, but it was like Leon was, you know, mm-hmm. I'm in charge. Because he was the oldest, right?
Yes.
Judah, I was a little surprised why he went off and done. Like his job,
yeah.
like, you know? And then... Yeah. I liked him as a character.
Judah yeah. is a kind of a Charlie a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not the oldest, so I don't have to take on that responsibility.
Yeah.
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 I'm
yeah.
going to go off and do my
yes.
adventures.
Yeah.
But then he is pretty protective of her, too.
Yeah.
And
they're
he
both,
got
yeah.
a little there at one point.
Yeah.
Basically,
yeah.
was she was like a prisoner for him.
Because all that
yeah.
lived in the house was Leon, Fiona, Oliver, and then Mark and Antoine lived there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Antoine.
Yeah.
Who Not was Mark. Yeah, Antoine.
Oliver's dad,
Luke
which
Antoine.
Would have been their uncle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Leon really took, they were all protective of Fiona.
Mm-hmm.
And like, but they let her do her own thing because like she raised horses.
Oh, yeah.
And then when that guy came and he's like, no, I got to talk to them, and then like when he sent one of his officers to go get him,
yeah,
I was like,
funny.
It's her own horses, she could tell you, you don't need my permission.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
was just, you know,
I know, because she's like, well, you can go get my brother, but he's gonna tell you they're mine, so whatever I say goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
which was nice. So it's like they gave her freedom in some aspects, and then in other aspects they were pretty overbearing big
yeah.
brothers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you really saw it more in Leon than
until she ran off
yes.
and Judah found her, and then Judah was very much a...
What? Okay, when she ran
yeah,
off to the military, was it Oliver that was in the camp?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he was like, what? You know, he was all like, what are you doing?
but
he's too gentle to...
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Have a firm hand with her.
Well, and she had to tell him, now you gotta say that this is who I am, you know, I'm not Fiona, I'm this.
Yeah. he would say her name and she'd punch him.
Yeah.
It's not my name. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she cut all of her hair off.
She made him cut her hair and he was like,
terrified.
Oh, I can't do this, I can't cut your hair. Poor guy, poor Oliver. What were your thoughts or your reactions to the history woven into this story? Because this is all around the War of 1812.
Mm-hmm.
So the British wanted to take back, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, it didn't go so well.
I thought that the author did a really good job of following the historical part.
Yeah, and Beth does a really, I think she does such in-depth research.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it, you know, a lot of it, and I learned some things that I didn't realize,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was really interesting. But the characters and stuff and the time period were right on. I mean,
mm-hmm.
things that really did happen.
Yeah.
And stuff.
I will say towards the end when it's like they're in the battle and it's, he's ready to be done, but he'll do his duty mm-hmm. and then, you know, so on. I just felt like that went on longer than I personally would have cared for, but it does help, you know, set it up all the way to the end. And
mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about, because you think you're, oh, they're done.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, okay, he's got to do another one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Did we really need that one in there? But,
right.
You know.
It was like, yeah, you feel like they were so close and then bam, and then so close. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I'm done with the. I've read other authors too, though, that wrote during war times where mm-hmm. that goes on. But I, it might just be me. My personal preference is mm-hmm. that I like that and I want to have that suspense and that intensity, but then I don't want it to be like,
Go on forever.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because there was another author, and she's an excellent author, that writes in a wartime that I felt the same way when I read hers. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, can we maybe like cut this down a little and
mm-hmm.
get to the happy ever after, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
ending. So,
yeah.
But what did you think about how Fiona told Sahoy she could just talk to Jesus like he was another person in the room? Because remember, they're like the fort down by them is under siege, like the British mm-hmm. are bombing, and they're keeping them at bay. Which, by the way, here's Charlie. He hasn't remembered who he is completely.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's fighting against his country's
own people, yeah.
naval ships. Which I'm like, that's all right. You're on the right side. So anyways, so Fiona and Sahoy then are hunkered down there. And Sahoy's like scared to death. And Fiona's just like talking to God, like, okay, protect our men, you know, get us out of this, blah, blah, blah. And Sahoy's like, you can just do that? What did you think about that scene?
Well, that's the truth. I mean, you can talk to God anywhere.
But see, she was raised in an Indian village.
Yes, I know.
And so things were, for her, it was kind of hard to wrap her head around.
Around her head,
being
yeah.
able to talk to somebody you can't see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. you mean to tell me he's going to listen to me? I.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I loved watching her and I thought she was a good pair for Oliver. Because, you know, Oliver's this gentle and really sweet. And I felt like, because of Sahoy's upbringing, she's real innocent
yeah.
and naive in the way that she looks at the world. It's
yes.
very black and white for her.
Yeah.
But she also went through some tragedy, mm-hmm. too, before she got to them. But, yeah, I just loved it because then she was like, okay. And she tried it. And,
yeah.
And then just watching her faith kind of grow there
yeah.
was pretty cool. So after reading all three books in the Gulf Coast Chronicles, which one was your favorite?
My favorite was this one, The Magnolia Duchess.
Mm-hmm.
If I could rate them in order, do you
yeah.
care?
Yeah,
it'd be The
it.
Magnolia Duchess, The Pelican Brides, and then The Creole Princess.
Oh, interesting. What about you, Mom?
It'd be the same, because I loved this one, The Magnolia Duchess,
mm-hmm.
and I loved The Creole.
Creole.
Yeah,
princess?
The first one. I
the second.
I mean, The Pelican Bride. I could not put it down. The one I had trouble with was the second one.
Mm.
And only because I had trouble getting into it, because it's like, who are these people and what happened to everybody? It was in the first book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say it's a toss up for me between The Creole Princess and The Magnolia Duchess. I loved both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if you really had to push me, I'd probably put Magnolia Duchess, then The Creole, and then The Pelican Brides. I enjoyed all of them, though.
Yeah,
I really did.
Yeah,
I did too. I just, the second one just gave me a lot of trouble to get into it, because I just couldn't figure out what was going on.
Yeah. Did you have any characters you really enjoyed in this series?
I liked Fiona.
Did you?
I liked Fiona because she just kind of like, you know, did her thing. Like,
I thought she was a little impulsive sometimes,
yeah.
though, and that drove me nuts. But like, I couldn't figure out what was her reasoning. Why did she think the only thing she could do to help was join
the
military? I don't know.
That was a very impulsive move for her to do.
I thought so. Kind of. Now, her jumping on a horse and chasing after Charlie after he escaped with her horse, her other horse. Now, that I totally respected. I'm like, you go get your horse and your man, girl. Like, I was like, you go. But the other, I was like, oh, that seemed really not a wise decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually thankful that her brother Judah caught her. Mm-hmm. Well, and Desi had seen her too, and he would have just immediately pulled her back.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes. Yeah. And he,
And Desi reminded me a lot of Rafa.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's always seemed to be in the right place at the right time to help people out. And so I really liked his
character. That's true. Yeah.
Any characters you really enjoyed, Mom?
Oh, absolutely.
Did you have more?
I just have enough. I did like Rafia.
Yeah.
He was one of my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Probably those two, Fiona and Raphael or whatever.
Yeah, I liked Raphael, and I liked in the first book, Tristan and Genevieve, or how you say her name.
Yeah.
I liked those characters too.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Tristan and Marc Antoine, the brothers. I just liked the dynamic there. I really enjoyed Fiona because I just feel like she was just so bold. I think all the women though in the series were bold, but she knew what she wanted and she went for it. And I really loved Charlie because he's such a goof, but yet he's dependable, but he is such a goof, and he's like, Raphael loved reading his scenes.
He's funny.
He is a hoot. And I really enjoyed Desi too.
Mm-hmm.
Just I think those two really mirrored each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did
quite a bit. Yeah. So, but yeah. All right. How would you rate the following elements? Now, this time, I know we were just talking about the whole series in whole, but we're just looking at the Magnolia Duchess here.
Okay.
What would you give the drama rating?
Mocha?
I think I would agree. I think there's just a lot of drama because of him not remembering. And then she's like, how do I keep this from my family? You know, there's just a lot.
I would say mocha to latte.
Yeah. I would agree with you, Mom. How about the mystery level?
Maybe espresso.
Yeah, I don't think there was a lot of mystery, do you?
There wasn't a lot of mystery, no. I'd say espresso.
Espresso? All right. What about the suspense?
Well,
mocha to latte?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there was. Yeah, I would agree. Mocha to latte.
Yeah, because there were some times where it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Who are they going to get caught? What's going to happen here? How about the inspiration level?
Mocha.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Again, she does a really good job of it playing out through her character's faith and how they live out their faith. Mm-hmm. So, and the romance level.
Mocha.
Latte.
I think there might have been a little more romance in this one, and I don't know if it's because we had three like love storylines.
Might be, I would say mocha to latte because it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would go there. Not complete latte, but
mocha to latte.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then, what is your overall lasso rating of the Magnolia Duchess by Beth White?
Mine is 3 lassos.
Okay, I knew that was coming from you.
Mine is 2.5.
Okay. I'm going to go 3, but I just really enjoyed. I enjoyed that time period, too, again.
Yeah.
And I forgot to mention this when we were talking earlier. I loved how she wrote in. Do you remember? I can't remember who said it. And I thought it was in book 3. It might have been book 2. I don't know. They're like, the way the Americans fight is dirty and barbaric. It was book 3.
Oh,
because I think Charlie was like thinking that Americans fight dirty and barbaric because we don't line up, take a shot, then let the others take a shot, and then back and like basically volley back and forth. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm sure that's how they thought because that's how they fought back then. But I was like, It's not barbaric. It's smart.
Yeah. It's like, why am I going to stand in line and let somebody shoot at me?
Yeah. I forgot to mention that. I was curious what if you guys caught that. It was a tiny, tiny detail, but it made me laugh. I'm like, this is why we win our wars. Okay. We don't, at least back then, we don't stand and wait for you to take a shot and then
and see how many of us you can kill. And then we're like, okay.
Yeah, we don't stand out and be your target.
I think it was something like, that's the gentleman's way to fight. And we are like savages. We
hide. And
we fight dirty is what they say.
Yes.
I'm like, oh no, we fight smart.
Yes.
Which is why you're not taking back over this country.
Right. Yeah. Here. Exactly.
Anyways. Okay. Well, I really enjoyed the golf. I keep wanting to say golf course.
Yeah.
I don't know why. The Gulf Coast Chronicles. Did you guys?
Yes, I did.
It was a great series to kick off our year.
Yes, it was.
And we are going to be moving into Misty and Beller's series next after this one, which is the Brothers of Sapphire Ranch series. Excited to dive in. And she will also be a guest on our podcast. And very exciting, Beth White will be her interview. We got to talk to her about this series, and she will be airing next week. For those of you following along. So we'll see you in a couple weeks. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider signing up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors, plus updates on my books. You can sign up at literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.